Radio.
Welcome once again, lover. I have truly missed you, but the ache of our time apart is nearly as sweet as having you with me once again. You know it, I know it, even the curtains might know it by now, but let's all say it together. Welcome to Daphne's Deathbed. It's so good to have you here. We're broadcasting to you live on the only frequency that matters, little old 432-19, The Experience. And this week, we are lucky enough to be hosted by the swinginest little club this side of the Canadian border, the Honey Pot. A brief moment of business before I get to the pleasure of our leisure together. Just a few items, nothing the both of us can't handle together if we try hard enough. Number one, although we are appreciative of any and all the support you're giving our little lover's wall initiative, we have to remind you that any photos clearly showing the subject still living will not be able to be included in the wall. Now, I want to be very clear that this doesn't reflect in the slightest on the skill of the photographer, but is merely a desire for artistic integrity. You all understand, I'm sure. And again, we do, of course, appreciate all the support. Number two, our longtime producer, Alice Stillwell, has been missing for almost 7 months now. If anyone has any information on her whereabouts, we ask that you continue to mind your own business, if you know what's good for you. Number three, the biannual Deathbed Daphne Charity Dance location will be revealed in exactly 43 days, 21 hours, and 9 minutes exactly. Anybody wishing to participate or force someone else to participate against their will should glance up at the dark side of the moon at that appointed time. Note what you read and follow the further instructions. As always, good luck, dancers. It's going to be a bloodbath. And that's the business, at least for today. We did it together, and I dare say it might have been even halfway enjoyable. But then again, I'm an optimist. But you aren't here for optimism, just like you aren't here for business. You're here for one reason and one reason alone. Love. And we, of course, will oblige. Take it away, Joe.
Hi, Daphne. I'm just... sorry. A little nervous. I'm Joe. Long-time listener to the Deathbed, and I have a problem. I'm in a little situation. A love situation. I need some help.
Of course you do, sweet thing. Of course you do. And I'm here to help you, but I need you to be brave for me, Joe. I need you to be brave and show Miss Daphne right where it hurts.
Okay, I can do that.
Why don't you start right at the beginning for me? Paint me a little pain picture, and let's dig into it. Let's get this little necro nose cut right off your little face and see what's underneath. Go ahead.
It's your basic love gone bad scenario. Two people, one meets another, one gets their heart broken, but that's all preamble. Nah, I'm sorry, I'm bad at this. Fuck! Fuck, God, I suck. Why do I even try?
Joe. Oh my goodness, there's a lot of pain inside there, isn't there? But I can only help you if you can tell me what's wrong. Bite your tongue, Joe. Harder, please. Are you bleeding, Joe? Are your teeth red, like a child playing with lipstick?
My teeth are loose.
Tell me, Joe. Tell me your story. Make it worthwhile.
I started sleeping outside since we couldn't be in the same house. Can you imagine? Your own house, and you can't even sleep in your own bed or take a nap on your own couch or pass out on your own kitchen table, and I couldn't figure out why. Like, fuck. That was the thing that was really driving me crazy at first. I never got a good goddamn reason why any of this was happening, but then I started sleeping outside, and oh, buddy, oh, little buddy boy Johnson, did that all change. See, I don't know if you know this, but there's a thing about being outside a house in the dark, and that's that you can see just about everything inside, and can't nothing inside see you back. Miss Daphne, I need you to believe me now. She was talking to the mirrors. And there was something in the mirrors that was talking back. And that's when I stopped feeling crazy. And I started feeling angry. Because it's one thing to be replaced, but to be replaced by something in your very own mirrors is a whole new level of disrespect that I found myself simply unable to tolerate. I knew that it was time to have a frank, an adult discussion about boundaries, the future, and what would and would not be accepted. I think if this whole situation really put anything into perspective for me, it's that I'm just not a very good listener. I think back on that night and I can't seem to remember a single important word we said beyond a gradual anger crescendo. All I can seem to remember is that behind her, just over her shoulder, in the glass of the window, I was looking at a face. And I remember thinking, huh, that's how I must have looked. And I think I had good intentions. And I said, be together then. Go, be happy. I don't think I actually pushed her that hard. Like, if I had to take a lie detector test about it, I think I'd pass, because I definitely didn't push her that hard. When I look back on it, it's weird, too, because part of me thinks I went outside to look right away. Another part of me thinks that I might have pushed on her a little, just a little. And I'm pretty sure I didn't, but if I did, it was only because she was suffering, and I wanted to, you know, end things. But a part of me thinks that I just went outside. It's weird when bad things have happened to a neck, isn't it? What I mean is we tend to have a very instinctual reaction to neck trauma. There's also something about breaking a window that puts you right back into your little 8-year-old shoes, and there's something about hanging from somebody's hair after they've been partially defenestrated in order to remove it from the body, using the shattered glass and the frame as an ersatz set of canines that makes you reluctant to... Well, I mean, that's a lot of work. So here's the problem, Miss Daphne. I'm a little eccentric in my dress and appearance, and I follow my heart in just about everything. So I cut a few holes in my belly and in my chest and wove the hair through them in a corset-style pattern until the head was stuck up against my little belly button. I think it looks amazing. And I can even accessorize with twice the makeup and head-based jewelry. But I'm running into problems dating. When I have a shirt on, as I often do in a first date scenario, the head presents as something of a bulge underneath what I'm wearing, and women tend to think I'm 30 to 50 pounds heavier than I actually am. And they don't wish to be with somebody of my size. My question for you, Miss Daphne, how can I find somebody that will look past the superficial exterior and see me for me?
Joe, first of all, I want to compliment you on your bravery. That's a very emotional story, a very raw story, and I think we all appreciate your sharing that part of yourself with us. Joe, I need you to stand right on up now. Are you sitting? If you're not standing, stand on up. Grab the receiver or the phone cord and make your way to the nearest mirror. Are you there, Joe? Are you in front of a nice big mirror? I need you to stand in front of that mirror and look yourself in the eyes, Joe. I need you to look yourself in the eyes and tell yourself these three words, okay? You look at yourself and you say, I deserve love. Say it, Joe. Look at yourself and say it.
I deserve love.
Every day, Joe. Every single day until you believe it in your bones. If you do this, I promise you, and you know I won't lie, I promise you that you will track that perfect, ever so special somebody. Say it again, Joe.
I deserve love.
Again.
I deserve love.
We'll be right back after this quick message from our sponsor.
If they fall in front of you, you will not stop moving. And if they beat you with their fists and their feet, you will not stop moving. And when your legs grow tired and blood flows from your nails, you will not stop moving. And when your mind loses its loose grip on sanity, you will not stop moving. And because of how much you love me, you will not stop moving. And because of how much you hate yourselves, you will not stop moving. And for all of this, there will be no happiness. And for everything you've done, there will be no redemption. And so it ever was, and so it shall be.
Welcome back, my love. I've got a gift for you. The thing I know you need and something you might even want on top of it all lets you and I just indulge. Of course, it's poetry, darling. What else could it be? This will be new to us, but tender, I think, and possibly even sweet for you now.
Stand with a single finger on a button that will destroy everything. I press it in so deeply that my knuckles stretch and my pulse rattles in my fingertip, and I just might be leaving my fingerprint embedded in the plastic. An identical button lies across the small room. When it is depressed, there will be something of a flashbulb and then a good, great darkness. And try as I might, stretching arms and legs and hands and feet and fingers and toes, I cannot depress both buttons at the same time. Oh, shucks. The hallway outside the small room is lined with hanged remains, queuing peaceably. Each holds a small section of a rope and a lingering unhappiness directed at a knot that eventually failed. So long as I continue to eat my soup, I will take in my vitamins and my minerals and my nutrients. Nutrients are essential for fingernail growth, and fingernail growth is essential for depressing both buttons at the same time. Outside the doorway that stands outside the hallway, outside the small room, there lurks a great dark beast with large and golden eyes. When I picture its face, I see it great and stupid as it constantly gnaws its tongue and spits tobacco juice near to the dainty hooves on which it toddles along. Call me crazy, I guess, but this is what I'd go ahead and call a real bitch of a situation. But it's like Homer said, do it for her.
It's fine, sure. Make me a victim in the last one and then pull me back in right after one of the most famous singers of all time, the goddamn Empress of the motherfucking blues.
You wanna talk about love, huh? Yeah, that shit's gone round. That wasn't poetry, was it? That wasn't like any poetry I've heard. Sounded like a big dramatic boy wanting to punch the ejector seat button with a fist like a cartoon character. With a fist like a cartoon character? What the fuck are you making me say? Talk normal. Or... No, no, no! Don't just toss it to a little artsy interlude.
I want you to meet Mrs. Mary Cooley, a midwife who lives in Albany, Georgia. This is a story of how she helps people like Ida Fleming, who engaged Miss Mary to deliver her third child. People like Adam and Maribel Dudley, newcomers to Dougherty County, who bring their troubles to this midwife. In the county health department are doctors and nurses who help Miss Mary do the job to which she and thousands of other midwives all over the South have dedicated their lives. Of healthy babies.
Confusion isn't a replacement for substance, you self-aggrandizing wannabe intellectual facade. It's not layers if they don't contain anything. You're just stacking nothing like turtles and pretending you're God. Lenny, bullshit. Anthropos, bullshit. Painting, bullshit. Apathy, bullshit. Gravity, bullshit. Cobwebs, bullshit. Voices, bullshit. Misanthropy isn't vulnerability or the truth, no matter how much you might expect it to be the safest option. Hiding behind a mask doesn't work when there isn't a face to place the mask upon. You couldn't do it, could you?
I'm gonna put you in a box, and then I'm gonna close the box, and you're never gonna get out of the box that I put you in.
What a sad and lonely little fuck you are.
Because, of course, the deathbed is all about connection. True and honest human connection, with the makeup removed and the lights laid low, and just the two of us together again. You know how much it means to me to have you tune into little old 43219, The Experience. But I'm afraid here at the honeypot, the chairs are being turned up onto the quiet cloth covering the tables. And one by one, candles sputter and die. Velvet shadows pool around our ankles, urging us into the cold air and waiting night. We wouldn't want to overstay our welcome, of course. Until the next time we meet, I have only one request for you, my love. When, under your beautiful fingers, their pulse slips into nothing. Look at the new moon. Think of me. And smile. I am, of course, Miss Daphne Delory Samarano. This was, of course, Daphne's deathbed. And it is, of course, time to say goodnight. Genuine Radio Broadcast 43219HZ.
Genuine Radio is voiced by Joe Hansen, Chris Northcutt, Edward Hoffman, Monty D. Montalegre, Edie Pierce, Alice Stillwell, and Ramey O. Washington. Genuine Radio was created by Alexander Wolf and is a production of Wolf Mountain Workshop. Tune in. Breakdown.